The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
This is Ross Coulthart, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Well, listen, I want to dive into some listener questions which jump all over a few different aspects of the topic. And quite a few people, Stephen, reached out to me to mention they had seen you talk at Contact in the Desert, which you've mentioned just happened a few weeks ago. A couple of questions on that. The first one from Mohammed. He says, my question to ask Mr. Bassett is to further explain a fascinating theory he told Chris Ramsey in an interview last week at Contact in the Desert. Steve theorized on why the different types of NHI we have encountered thus far share so many similar features to species on Earth. That is, reptilians look like reptiles, insectoids like insects, and Nordics and Greys look like humans. He theorized that this is possible, that it is possible that an advanced NHI species a long time ago incorporated DNA from different species taken from Earth to create these new ascension beings. He's fascinated by this theory and would like to hear him talk about it a bit more.
Well, you just told the theory. I mean, you just, that's it. That's it. Yeah, moving away from politics into the phenomena. I'm not a researcher, right? So don't write it all down and as gospel. But, you know, if you're in something for this long, 29 years, you get a sense of what's happening. You don't have to be a big deep. There's tons of research been done. That those, all those books you see behind me, multiply that by probably 500, 1,000. Well, maybe that's not too much. It's not fun. So we got about 500 books. Yeah, about multiply it by 100, 200. And maybe you have the number of books that have been published on this subject and whatever. Anyway, the point is that I'm very much a fan of the contactees. I know many of them. I've talked to them. There's no question that they're legit, real, and huge numbers of their stories have been researched, but also hundreds of thousands have been submitted to researchers just privately, meaning I can't tell anybody this, but I can tell you, and here it is. I'm not going to, you know, give interviews or talk about it, but I just want you to know hundreds of thousands. We have a pretty good idea what these ETs are doing from the contactees. Of course, there are no ETs, so the contactees are all insane, right? And so it means nothing. Yeah, right. So anyway, I'm a big fan, and I try to be supportive, though you can't use that information to get to Congress, right? That's off limits until after disclosure. But we know about the types. They've been talked about relentlessly for decades. They've been drawn and painted by people that had the memories, and they come back and they draw it. It's like a forensic, what do they call it? Forensic artist or something that, tell me about the person that robbed you, and they write.
Yeah.
Well, these people got a lot better look as he tastes, not only once, but repeatedly. So we got a pretty good idea. And there seems to be a dominant group. I'm not saying there aren't outliers, but there's a dominant group. And it's the grays, the Nordics, the reptides, and the insectoids. Sometimes call them insectolons or whatever. And everybody goes, ooh, the reptiles are very scary and whatever, and the grays are weird. And that's fine. But after a while, something occurred to me, which I really was intrigued by. There's no way to confirm it, except maybe some contactees could ask them next time they go up for an exam. But there's a genetic connection here, and it's not trivial. So you've got the insectoids that look insect-like. Why? Because they got insect DNA. Where did that come from? Came from Earth. Got taken off Earth, right? Moving DNA around is actually not a particularly challenging thing anymore. We're deep into it. We just don't have space travel. But if we did, we'd be going to other planets, grabbing some of the life stuff, bringing it back and experimenting with it or whatever. And so DNA, insect DNA, was taken from our planet, pick a number of years ago, and ended up being involved in creating another species, a sentient species, that had this DNA as part of their makeup. Insectoids. Reptilian is even stronger. Boy, did it look reptilian. Why? Reptilian DNA. Where did it come from? Came from Earth. When was it taken? Who knows? Could have been a million years ago. Could have been 500,000, 100,000, whatever. And now it was put in and helped to create a sentient being that had those qualities. The Nordics is a no-brainer. They look so much like humans that they could maybe sit down at dinner with you and you wouldn't know it, though they're remarkably attractive, but whatever. Very much DNA there. But then there's the grays. The grays are a little different. The grays are not like us. They don't look like us. You don't see human DNA there off the top, except the grays are predominantly involved in the abduction and hybrid work. And the hybrids, as reported by many, many, many contactees, are gray-human hybrids. And so there's a genetic connection in that sense. So what does one take away from this? Theoretically, it could mean any number of things, but one thing is striking, and that is this. If we are at the verge of the greatest event in human history, where as a modern space-faring civilization, we are going to be firmly aware of this presence, and the confirmation is formal and could lead to open contact. But in other words, we're going to be kind of introduced to the galaxy in a way that Star Trek could never imagine. Or actually, it did imagine, but it's going to be for real. This is a big deal. It's like a major event in the history of this species, which goes back 300,000 years, and the life goes back several billion years. It's a big deal. It was not such a big deal if they're showing up in Egypt or somewhere 3,000 years ago and helping build pyramids. That's kind of interesting and it's fascinating, but it's not as big a deal as this. It's back then they were all gods. Now they crash and we have bodies that stink up the Roswell Hospital. So it's a big deal. Is it possible that this particular group is here as opposed to any number of others, God knows how many they are, because of their connection to us genetically? In other words, they're here because they have either a vested interest or simply want to be here when this extraordinary event takes place. But they also seem to be participating in other work. And so it's kind of a homecoming. It's kind of a bar mitzvah in which the relatives show up to cheer on the 13-year-old as that person enters, that kid enters a new life. I love this idea. I'm stuck with this idea. I'm going to keep preaching, or not preaching, but telling this idea until somebody says, nah, it's not true, and it convinces me, but I love it. it takes a lot of the sting out. It takes a lot of the bile out of it. Yeah, these are the people who would be here for this. Why would they be here? To watch us be slaughtered? I don't think so. Right? So, not surprisingly, if we have disclosure and if we have open contact after that, while all there's the speculation of having to then interact with unbelievably advanced species that we can't even recognize them, they can float around in space or whatever, how can we possibly deal with them? We might be having open contact with non-human species, extraterrestrials, who are not that far advanced and have genetic connections to us. In other words, you don't have to be a million years ahead to be advanced. We've seen the technological curves.
Yep.
If you're just 150 to 200 years advanced from us, you're pretty advanced. A thousand. Okay. So, but any advancement of substantial could be hugely, substantial advancement could be hugely advantage to us if we could have access to the tech and the science and be able to use it to fix things as opposed to blowing up things. And so it's possible this has all been significantly put forward with the help of the ETs, driving the process, preventing it from going backward by constantly being seen and showing up and doing whatever they want to do, leading to disclosure, which leads to open contact, which means that we're now dealing with extraterrestrials. I believe they're extraterrestrials. I'm just not going to go to the time travel stuff and the other stuff, the multi-dimensions. It's just too sci-fi. I'll stick with extraterrestrials, which is exactly what we would be if we showed up at another planet. Now, maybe if we didn't have star drive, it might take us 10,000 years to get there. But once we got there, we would be an extraterrestrial. So this is not a big stretch, right? But we're dealing with extraterrestrials that are more advanced with science and tech that could be very helpful to us, who just happen to have a genetic connection to us, either one going back or one being created now. I love this idea. It would make for a fantastic novel if I could write a novel, but I can't write a novel. But I do talk a lot. And so I'm going to keep putting this out there because it's until it's refuted, because it is an explanation that accounts for a great deal of everything that's happened in the last 75 years, but portends a much more favorable outcome than many would conclude. And I'm down with favorable outcomes because right now there's hardly any to be found, but that would be a good one. So maybe that's where we're headed for, a connection to extraterrestrials with genetic heritage that has part from here, who may be able to help us get out of this mess that we've created for ourselves, this hole that we've dug, not just for the U.S. I mean, the whole planet. I mean, we're in deep trouble. And you may say, well, wait a minute, I've got some friends that have multi-million dollar houses and five cars. They're doing just fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the couple billion that aren't doing fine that are going to eventually come and burn that person's house down, steal their cars, break into their underground nuclear bunker and do terrible things to them. That group, that's why we're in trouble. And then the developed countries, the ones that have money, rather than just enjoy a good life, they constantly fund politicians and war efforts to blow things up, including each other. So, yeah, we've dug a pretty deep hole. From the standpoint of an extraterrestrial, this planet's a mess. Right? I mean, really a mess and in deep danger. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. Sci-fi movies get into this all the time. All kinds of movies get into this all the time about the mess we're in and how it would look to outsiders. The art world, the cinema world, has gone to great lengths to try to show us this, and they've done a pretty good job. And they just get better at it because the AI gets better, and CGI gets better, and just take us to other worlds. But the messages are relevant to the modern era. Star Trek was important because it was not just sci-fi; it was a glimpse of a paradigm shift societally. Not enough, because there was still plenty of wars going on, but it was a way to look at the new paradigm way back, but that's still going on. There's going to be more films that are going to be talking about this as the content creating world tries to address this unbelievable opportunity, which is why Dan Harari and I created the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, which is based in Hollywood, hollywooddisclosurealliance.org, and it's filled with about 110 members or five members that are content creators and 105 that are into this issue big time. And it's a nonprofit designed to just get them all together make them easy to find each other, both in each group, find each other within your own group, the Hollywood group, or within the UAP group, or each other across the two groups, or from outside and inside. And things are already happening. It's creating deals and content and brokering understanding. It's a very good idea that Dan Harary submitted to me not too long ago. And I'd already tried something like it, but this was the real deal. And that's some of the good things that are happening. But we're still in that hole. I mean, we're still on the verge of destruction almost every day because of the awful mistakes we've made. And you get a reminder every day. What was it? Yesterday's reminder? You get one every day, every day. Because I go and watch the news. I know it's crazy, but I'm a political activist. I don't have that option. You know, it's like, just take a couple of years off. Just go to the beach, right? Don't even turn on CNN or Fox. No, I do it. So what was yesterday's reminder? Pakistan announced that because they have nukes, if Israel does nuke or use a nuke in Iran, they're going to nuke Israel. When they have nukes, in fact, and India has nukes, and Pakistan is also in a kind of endless confrontation with India.
Yeah.
And so who knows? But the point is that there's a reminder every day, and people are used to it. They're used to it. I swear to God, it's like, yeah, you know, what can you do? Well, that means they're not doing anything about it. They're not really putting politicians in office to address it properly. They're not responding, and they're subject to manipulation. They're just, you know, they're used to it. Hey, what can you do?
Well, you mentioned Hollywood, obviously. In a couple of weeks, the new Disney Pixar movie is coming out, and that is Elio, which is little kid gets abducted and gets taken away by loads of different alien species and is declared the Earth ambassador. So there's about a whole new generation introduced to the concept of aliens, UFOs, abductions and space travel. So I would suggest anyone who's a parent out there gets the kids along to that. Disney Pixar is always a good production as well. So,
but the kids got to have some attention as well. They're part of the post disclosure world is coming. Then you had Wildcat. You had Mars Needs Mothers. That was a bomb, but still they're trying, right? Let me tell you, they have the skills to educate the world on this subject legitimately and make things a lot easier. And there is content like that coming. I may even be involved in a little of it. You never know.
No.
If I am, I'll probably promote it like hell on these podcasts. But the film industry is a major component in this, and HollywoodDisclosureAlliance.org is trying to help with that. If you think you could be a member, if you think that it's a membership is something for you, because you're a content creator or into the UAP issue very bigly, you can contact me or Dan to the website. We'll check it out.
I'll put the link in the description, of course. Purple Burglar, you mentioned AI, asks, what if disclosure already happened, but not from the government? What if AI itself is the disclosure event seeded with non-human intelligence to guide us into contact without realizing it?
A good sci-fi script. Go for it. Write that baby. Write it up. Get one of those software kits, you know, software programs. Just do it. In terms of, is that reflecting what's going on now? I highly doubt that. No. But I'll tell you, AI is significant. Obviously it's significant. But in terms of the ET issue, it's non-trivial. Why? Because if we have disclosure and open contact, our fine government decides to inform us of the new science and engineering that they've developed. I'm not really interested in their new ET-based weapons, right? They can take and put them where the sun doesn't shine. But in terms of the tech and engineering possibilities and what we could learn from ETs could, again, provide technological answers to the worst of the problems we've created, right? I mean, I understand that I need to meditate. And I understand that there's some getting back to nature would be helpful. And I understand that and all that. But there's 8.3 billion people on this planet headed to 10 billion. The problems that we face are going to require technological solutions. We can't wait for the Earth to evolve to accommodate us. That could take a million years. This will maybe last that long. Now, if you're going to have to deal with advanced technology, extraordinary technology, and you're going to have to deal maybe even with the owners of that technology that are more advanced than you, what better new science could you have than AI? And I don't mean just you know, any AI, because that's what's happening now. You know, big database, put it out, whatever. Everybody's doing the marketing. I'm talking about a massive, well-funded effort to create extremely well-backed AI that is capable of going to extraordinary levels, which might even include being sentient. It doesn't matter ultimately. You're going to need that. It will make it possible for us to interface with advanced civilizations much more easily, because the AI will end up being the interface in many cases. In other words, they've got to explain something. We need to understand it. Our AI interfaces with them or their AI and so forth. And so AI could be the key element in being able to take advantage of a post-disclosure, post-open contact era where we're an apprentice to some sort of galactic federation. Right. We don't want them coming here and taking over and then just teaching us, but just doing it for us. Right. You're just too primitive to do this, but we'll run things now and you'll be able to get this and that. No, we'd like to be able to do it ourselves. So AI is coming at a rather interesting time. It seems to be perfectly timed, if I'm right about the disclosure process. So that's a positive. Right. I understand that AI could also do a tremendous amount of damage. But like any tool, that's the case. And we create these tools. We've created unlimited numbers of tools in our history. We're making them all the time. And every single one of them can be used to destroy stuff or build stuff. And oftentimes we choose to destroy stuff. That's a tool. A hammer is nothing but a tool. You can build houses for your neighbors, or you can become the serial hammer killer. And that's true of nuclear energy and AI and everything else. And so the problem is not the tools. The problem is intellectually and emotionally and worldview-wise, we still don't know how to not use what we create to destroy other stuff, including other beings, other animals, and ourselves, and in our own species. We haven't gotten there yet, but we don't have much more time to get there. We got to leave this old behavior behind pretty soon, or we're going to create hell on Earth, in which case, you know, the ETs will probably head back and chill out for a couple thousand years and then come back and see how we're doing. Say, oh, well, we've come in a comeback here, you know, and it's taken a long time, but we just opened our first post-apocalyptic 7-Eleven, right? You can get those hot dogs in there that kind of rotate around for weeks. We consider that progress, and they're going, that's good. Keep it up. We may get back to another 500 years. I don't know. The universe is very old, and it's going to get a lot older. We're just here for a tiny bit of time, living on a tiny planet, the speck in the galaxy. And the idea of just screwing it all up seems sad and wasteful. And a lot of people know that now. And a lot of people now have the means through the massive technological interfaces we created to inform everybody else about that now. So we have less excuse. Right. Less excuses for making asses of ourselves as a species than we did, you know, even 100 years ago. So let's stop doing that.
Here's a question from Jonathan, which maybe ties into what you were just saying there about, you know, things moving on a little bit. Does Stephen see any shift in possible disclosure, as in it's becoming more esoteric in nature? Are we being groomed to accept a more spiritual or religious aspect that's beyond the nuts and bolts of decades past? I'm thinking of Skywatcher and Matthew Brown's recent post on social media indicating ancient summoning rites and religious symbolism.
Well, spiritual, we have a very long historical spiritual past, and that's not going away. Fine. And then this stuff is happening. And so obviously anything new that happens, there's a spiritual perspective on it, a spiritual prism to look through. And people are going to see things like that. That's fine. I can't address it really. It's not my area. But one thing I can address is this, is that the new term psionics is another example of coming up with language that makes it easier for skittish academics, politicians, and others to deal with it, because the term isn't stigmatized. That's happened with UFO, it happened with alien and so forth, and we've done a lot to fix that language, but this is another case, psionics, which includes telepathy and a lot of other things that were stigmatized. Why is this happening? It's not complicated. aside from all the research that U.S. government and other governments have done in these areas, because there is legitimacy there, and they have the money to do it. One of the most important things we know about extraterrestrials, maybe the most important thing, but it's certainly important, is that they seem to universally be telepathic. If one of them was telepathic and the rest weren't, that would be pretty profound. But the fact that they all seem to be, that is even more profound. Why? It means that telepathy is a innate function of sentience. In other words, if an entity has enough brain, enough whatever, to have the sentient, the ability of sentience and the memory and the abilities that our brain has. Apparently, telepathy ultimately comes with the package at some point. It may always be there, but it needs to be unleashed. But it's part of being alive. Like, there's a number of things that are common to all life matter. It looks like telepathy may be one of them. That is a huge thing, an absolutely huge thing. And so the very fact that that's being reported has opened up that door to those areas of inquiry. Telepathy being one, psychokinesis could be another. Remote viewing, clearly, which is even more profound than telepathy and gets into some stuff that's really out there. All of this is being semi-legitimized by the reality of the ET presence. As it gets more and more confirmed, people are more and more now willing to engage in that issue. And not surprisingly, those that are in that issue, which some call consciousness or sentience, consciousness, all these areas, they're joining up with the ET group and they're turning up at the same conferences. They're just studying. AI is kind of a bridge between the two. And so now all of these are in play. And the term that is comfortable is psionics. And psionics was a big part of the contact in the desert, a major part. I was in the room when Diane Hennessy Powell, the current researcher that is getting enormous interest because of her work with autistic children that are clearly demonstrating easy to prove telepathy, got a full standing ovation. I mean, just a huge, I don't think I've ever seen one at that UAP conference at that level. And there was a demonstration and so forth. So this is becoming part of it. Is it, what's most important, I think, to going forward is getting disclosure. And as this whole thing expands, as you now add to the nuts and bolts ET stuff, the psionic stuff and the kind of abilities that ET brains seem to have that we may have and all of that, the more this expands, the more critical we must have disclosure, because without it, this is all going to be messed up. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be more painful. It's not going to get funded. People are going to be confused, maybe even upset, maybe scared. The world is more than we know. Hell, probably one of the things that frightens me the most is quantum field theory. And when you get down into that, I can't read the equations or anything, but when you get down to the explanation, it gets pretty scary. But I'm sure with the bright meds, I'll be fine. But I'm just saying the world is more than we know, and we're heading towards that more. And we need to deal with it in a responsible way so it doesn't set us back. And we're not. I mean, the level of irresponsibility the human race demonstrates on a daily basis is really rather impressive. I have a feeling there are species out there in different planets that are in awe of us. You know, like we are in awe of the serial killer that killed 233 people before we caught him. How did he do it? I mean, what amazing technique did they have, right? I mean, we get impressed by that. I think there are species out there looking at us going, you people are really amazing. I mean, you are astoundingly self-destructive and wasteful and what's that? You know, whatever. We may be known for that, maybe not. But there's plenty of people living on the planet right now that know it. Just not enough of them, and there's not enough effort to deal with it. So we got to start fixing things, and we need something dramatic to change our perspective and point of view. That's disclosure. That's the paradigm shift. And in the post-disclosure world, we will have an opportunity to fix stuff or not. There are people that will say, look, this post-disclosure thing is interesting and there's other species out there and the galaxy is amazing, but let's just keep doing the same stuff. That's what we're used to, right? So who wants to go to war tomorrow, right? Who do we invade tomorrow? what kind of new weapon can we come up with? Let's just do more of that stuff, and let's deprive a lot of people so they starve to death while others become unbelievably rich. Let's keep doing that because it's been working so well for us. There will be people that think like that post-disclosure. We must not let them prevail. We need to take advantage of this and fix things. That is why I do what I do. I knew there were extraterrestrials here when I was a teenager. It was obvious. I've done all this for 30 years because I'm hoping I can help make a difference in, or at least help to get us out of this hole we've dug and create a planet that works and is not self-destructive, maybe even outer destructive, not only of ourselves, but we're prepared to destroy everything, the oceans, the sky, other plants, life, the structures, you name it, right? I mean, I think there are people out there, if they could trigger that Yellowstone volcano tomorrow, they'd do it just to see what it was like, you know?
Yep.
That would be spectacular. Film it, right? Make some docs. What can I say? We got to get better. And I'm happy to be part of an effort that maybe helped take us there, along with so many of my colleagues who I greatly like and appreciate.
Several listeners asked me to ask you about Skywatcher's index list of put together of shapes of craft or objects that they've got footage of. And a lot of folks are noticing flying saucers are not one of the objects on that list. And they have asked, well, I'm surmising a lot of different questions here, but what are your thoughts or takes on why we're not seeing saucers on Skywatcher's list?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe they got a saucer, you know, a problem, right? Maybe saucers has got a little stigma attached to them. Maybe they're just too mundane. Ah, the old saucer, it's old hat.
Does it speak to it being potentially a different type of phenomena, though? Still UFO, but what Skywatcher are doing and summoning and the techniques aren't necessarily something that resonates with whatever are in the saucers.
By the way, you know, again, I'm big on language, right? I know that language is key to social projects and activism and everything else. The wrong language and you're pretty much dead on arrival. Summoning is not the term I would be shooting for. I just, you know, I wouldn't be summoning in ETs because it has a sort of summoning has a track record that goes back a long ways and it's kind of negative. So I would do something else like the CE5, which is what they're really talking about. And CE5 is trying to make contact and maybe invite ETs to kind of a craft to come in and so forth. I don't ever recall having CE5 programs use the term summoning. Now, things are getting more advanced, not surprisingly. And so the idea that using not just thought, meditation, telepathy in a sense, but using technology to kind of bring them in, why not? All right. So that's undoubtedly happening because more and more people are willing to know that this is real and they want to invent some tech that'll bring them in. Okay, that's fine. And if they have success, that will advance the disclosure process. But then there's rumors the government are using this kind of technology to bring them in and then shoot at them. This is a bad idea. This is not good. I can see why they do it. Come on, man. What could be better than shooting a saucer down? We go out in the wild and shoot very dangerous animals like bears and lions, right? They're very dangerous. We shoot them. Well, these aren't bears or lions. And anybody that is authorizing shooting of these crafts should be immediately removed to their position and sent to a comfortable place to live, I don't know, probably in Florida, and never seen again. It's insanity. So hopefully that's not happening. But the rumors out there, it's kind of in play. And if it has happened, let's hope it stops. But there are no ETs here. And the shutdown was EMP weapons and all of it was disinformation from the government. And so again, the people behind these maneuvers, please stop it. You can't get away with it anymore. You're just creating a legacy for yourself that you'll have to hide. You have to change your name, live in a trailer park or something. You've had careers, you're intelligent. You may have PhDs. You've got your officers in the Air Force. You're substantive people. And what you're doing is just pathetic. You got to find another way to use those skills. Use your rank and station and skills and so forth other than trying to continue to bamboozle the American people and everybody else with increasingly transparent, obvious, nonsensical crap. You know, I'm sure that you'd never put that on your resume, but that's what it should be there, right? Stop it, please. Now, the list of things that I could say stop it to is a very long list, and I'm obviously only interested in that one thing on the list, and I realize a lot of people, well, there's a lot of things you want to stop, but you say stop it. Nate, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I get that. But in this case, it's interesting because I think the truth embargo has been maintained for decades by some pretty good people that are defending this country and protecting us from our enemies. We shouldn't have so many, but we do, and they protect us. They give their lives over to it. Their families give their life to it. I was a military child. It wasn't easy being a military brat. Whatever. My father was at Guadalcanal. My uncle was at Pearl Harbor. I mean, I get it. These are basically good people, and I hate to see them in service to this enormously significant thing that is happening to the human race. It's time to get on the right side of history on this. And I'm encouraging them to do so by being semi-funny. But it really comes down to making a choice. Do you want to help end this truth embargo, or do you want to continue it? And given how many other things that have people incredibly upset and concerned that they want to quit this job or that job or walk away, I mean, this is probably not on a par with many of those things. So I understand. It's not like, oh, gee, I'm just going to decide to do the right thing. It's tough. But others are showing the way. They've come forward. The witnesses, the people that came forward in 2017, we all know who they are. They are showing the way. And overall, it's not going that bad for them. And the public is increasingly showing great admiration for the people that are willing to end this embargo. And that certainly includes all those fine people in the House Senate committees, as well as the Intel Committee of the Senate. So there's a lot of support to do the right thing right now. And one of the things that is most important that I constantly remind people of is this. And Anna Paulina Luna made this statement. She's not the only one, but she made it in a very powerful way not too long ago. She was interviewed, and in the interview, discussing what was coming up, hopefully, a new skiff, a new hearing, she told, I think it was Matt Laszlo again, Ask a Poll, she told Matt the investigation of this issue, what's going on with this issue is the most bipartisan investigation in the history of the country. And she's absolutely right. Nothing this bipartisan has happened really at this level ever because of what it is. And so because it is extraordinarily bipartisan, it is something that people can decide, I'm going to support the right thing here, because the other side is not going to then try to tar and feather me. Right. It's a bipartisan thing. Everybody's trying to get the same goal. Not enough yet, but yet that is true. And they've acknowledged it. And these, some of the people that are servicing this are some of the most partisan people on other issues in the country, but not on this issue. It's that important, that compelling. And so, again, I invite those that put out that story to the fine, you know, writers, the Wall Street Journal. Don't do it again. Recant if you can. But don't keep this up. It's not good. Nobody is winning here. It's lose, lose, lose all the way around.
Final question then from Melly, and a few people touched on this as well, but will 2027 be the year of disclosure? And generally your thoughts on all this talk again starting to come up of 2027, 2027, etc.
I like it when people start thinking that way. Right, because they get a little inside tip there. Maybe it's a Baba Vanga, whatever that mystic, you know, past, now dead mystic comes up. Whatever, I like it. Right, it's showing an expectation. It's always a possibility somebody does have a real piece of information, right, from God knows what source, that pins it. Because some of the people that are talking dates are not easily dismissed. But yeah, I can't talk date. What I can talk is process. And I've said this before, the process is leading to disclosure. Disclosure could happen at any time because the platform has been set. The president could do it if the president wishes to do so without, I think, negative consequences and maybe a massive positive consequences and an incredible legacy that any leader would love to have. And if we get disclosure, say on Monday, I think open contact is about 2 years out. And the reason I've said that countless times is because what has to happen after disclosure is the world's got to get, has to go on a learning curve. And the planet in general has got to get up to speed on the whole thing. Everybody, at least every country and all of the politicians and scientists and general public are going to want to get up to speed. Okay, what do you know? What do you got? Oh, you got lots of this. There's thousands of books. Go read them. Turns out they were right. Most of them. And the docs and all that stuff. And get up to speed. And everybody's into it, right? They're all sitting around talking about ETs and this and that. Open contact then becomes not anticlimactic. And if the goal has been open contact, then it's going to happen. And the ETs seem to be, I mean, if you look at what ETs say and do, open contact seems to be the logical thing. And why wait once the planet is kind of up to speed, particularly if the nuke thing is still an issue, which it will be. And so my frame was is 2 years. Now, as it happened, since as I made it clear, the president, if it pleases him to do so, could disclose tomorrow with almost no negative consequence, other than some people at the DOD would be running up and down the hall screaming and beating their head against, you know, some sculpture or something. But overall, pretty positive. 2 years of a learning curve on the planet where people kind of get up to speed and it's normalized and they're ready for more. That would be mid-2027. So there you go. What can I say?
On that note, Stephen, you have said a lot and you've said it well, as always. I'll put those links for the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance and your own websites into the link for the description for the podcast. Of course, your website, you've mentioned the index on there of thousands of articles. I think 6,000 was the last number. 16,000. Jesus, yeah. So people can get reading, and maybe by mid-2027, they'll have finished those articles if they can get there.
Start today. You'll be ready for open content.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to mention before we head off?
Let's see. Support the New Paradigm Institute's programs. They've got real solid programs for getting the information into Congress. Your information is all set up like a lot of activist groups, but for this issue, as well as other projects. And the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, of course, is trying to do its thing. All three of these, including Paradigm Research Group, are nonprofits, 501c3. I'm definitely in need of donations. I'm not big, but I don't need a lot, but I need about 25,000 in order to hold the 7th X conference, hopefully early next year. The time is right for the 7th one, and I know how to put on a pretty good one. So if I can get that kind of donations, tax deductible, of course, I'll immediately start on that project, pin down the date. Other entities need much larger funding. They have much bigger goals. But overall, there is a vast arena of nonprofits that get every year huge numbers of money, amounts of money from philanthropists and entities and even corporations to do things that are helpful. This issue is orphaned. It just isn't there yet. The money's there, believe me. And what we need compared to, say, cancer research is nothing, right? Cancer research, give them the billions. We don't need that level of money, but the stigma of the subject is still lingering enough that people that have got the kinds of funds they can donate are a little concerned. I mean, there's other options to go to, but I hope some will start realizing that this is this area and the nonprofits that are being created are worthy of significant funding, because we're trying to serve the entire human race. And there's a lot of work to be done post-disclosure. So that's where things are at. And I've done my little promo. So until next time, Andy, take care, right? may many subscribers come to you in the coming months. Right?
Well, we can always hope. And like you say, it's not the nicest world to live in at the minute necessarily. And you just mentioned before, you said saying something semi-funny. But to be honest, I think a little bit of humour goes a long way at the moment as well, regardless of what people are talking about. So it's always appreciated.
Yeah, I got a inner stand-up comedian and nothing I can do about him. He's there. But I think that there's a fundamental truth. Couple of truths, right? But one of them is, if you're going to tell people they really don't want to hear, you'd better make them laugh or they'll kill you. And the other thing is, you know, if you look at the great comedians like Mel Brooks, Sid Caesar, and who's the other one? They lived to 98. Mel Brooks is 100, I think. It's the humor, man. If you can keep it going, keep that humor going, add years and years, maybe even decades to your life. So I go there. I can't help myself.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Steve, and we'll speak very, very soon.
Yes, sir.
My new book, Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, is now available to pre-order wherever books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones. Explore the UFO phenomenon through 34 cases from throughout the world, with accompanying pictures and maps in a beautiful hardback edition or download for your Kindle. Links available in the podcast description below.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.